Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, 2007.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? The ones whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is in vain.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory.
He shall receive blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Let the Lord enter, he is King of glory. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, the gospel about his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm here, I'm Brian, and Dawn is with me.
Hello, faithful listeners.
And we're here, we're going to discuss these readings that we just heard. And Dawn, right off the bat, I'm going to do something that we don't always do a whole lot, but I'm going to start with the first reading. You know, often we start with the Gospel as we do things. But I did like the first reading. Of course, some of it gives a little bit of a foreshadowing. The first reading often foreshadows the gospel or has some kind of a connection to the gospel. But the part that I liked was this whole part about tempting the Lord, tempting God. And Ahaz is, God tells Ahab more or less to ask for a sign. And Ahaz says, "I'm not going to tempt the Lord." And that's a huge theme in the Old Testament. Something that comes up over and over again in the scriptures is that God often tests us or tests his people, But one of the things is that his people are not, it's not a two-lane road, so to speak. His people are not supposed to be tempting the Lord or testing the Lord and testing his faithfulness. And that becomes problematic in the scriptures because Israel finds itself wandering in the desert, and they, of course, try to tempt the Lord and start worshiping a golden calf and things. And it's kind of a sign of the sinfulness or the lack of trust in God's faithfulness on behalf of the people when they ask God for a sign. It's kind of this lack of trust is what's being displayed. So right here, it's interesting in this scripture passage where we have somebody saying, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Through that, God says, well, I'm going to give you a sign anyway, kind of my faithfulness. And of course, that sign is going to be that the virgin will conceive and bear a son and will be named Emmanuel, which we'll find out later in the gospel means God is with us. But I think that that's an interesting theme is how this all comes. Originally, there's this question of tempting the Lord. And I think it's something that we do today in our society a lot. A lot of times people want a big sign from God or some kind of a miracle, especially people who aren't believers. They want proof and they want it to come through some big miracle. And what we're actually told is throughout the scriptures is God doesn't work that way. You don't tell God, you know, you need to work a miracle for me so that I know you're there.
Well, you know, that's something you just said reminded me. I was on Facebook, for those of you who might not know, but I don't know who that would be. That's a social networking site. And there was a group.
They probably all have Facebook.
I know. Well, all the people I work here with in the office have no clue on anything technology, so I'm just used to explaining everything. So anyhow, so I was, I don't remember what group it was I was looking at, and somebody had posed the question, can anybody give me proof that God exists? And I started looking at the responses, and just in the first 8 minutes of this being posted, there were like 2,000 responses.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
Right. And another thing that's often forgotten, a lot of times people take faith as to be that it's not a form of knowledge because it's faith. But we definitely say faith is a way of knowing. It's a different way of knowing than through our senses or through empirical data. But there is a sense of faith is knowledge. It's not a guess or something like that. And so we do believe that our faith is a way of knowing. And that's also part of the reason why we don't test God, because if we do have faith, we know that God is there all the time. So there's no need for us to sit here and ask God to prove himself through other means, either through miracles or, you know, coming down and incarnating himself or any other means. We shouldn't demand that of God.
That's a very good point. And it makes me think of in the gospel reading about Joseph. When I was reading that, I was thinking, I don't think I would be that trusting in God that I have this dream and, okay, I'll just go and take Mary into my home even though she's pregnant. And so I know you were going to talk something about Joseph, so why don't you just let us know?
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is there's a couple things. I'll get to your point about the dream. Mm-hmm. But first I want to start off with this line where it talks about Joseph. Well, let's actually, I'm going to even go back one step further. I'm going to talk about the whole situation just so we all understand the context and what we're dealing with.
Sounds
Many
good.
People probably know this already and some may not. And that's that what happens here is Joseph and Mary are betrothed to each other. And that's actually kind of that would be equivalent maybe of saying they're engaged. It's not quite they're married, so you don't want to take that to be married, but more on the level that we would think about maybe an engagement. And Joseph realizes that Mary is pregnant. Now, the Jewish laws would allow for a couple of different options. One of them would be that Joseph could publicly humiliate Mary and have her stoned to death. Because if someone was unfaithful, or it was always assumed that it was the woman's fault back in these days. So it would have been, you know, Mary would have tempted whoever she ended up having a relationship with into that relationship. So it'd be her fault. And so as a result, she could be stoned to death. Or Joseph could quietly just walk away. It says here divorce her, because a betrothal was a little more than an engagement, so there would be a divorce process. But he could do that quietly as well. And so that's what Joseph sought to do. And it says that he did this. It talks about Joseph being a righteous man in the readings. And the Greek word for that is used in the scripture is dikaros, and Matthew uses this 19 times throughout his gospel. But what he's talking about when he uses this word just is it's not somebody who's just kind of a nice guy or does generally nice things, but it's somebody who actually is just by the law of God to the point that they would be considered a son of God. There's a line in scripture that actually says, act justly and you'll be called a son of God, that comes from the book of Sirach. And so Joseph, it's more of a sense of he's really a holy man, somebody who takes his faith life very seriously and does his best to live according to the Jewish customs and the Jewish laws. So it's not just he's, you know, a nice guy who doesn't want to bring harm to Mary, but he also wants to live by the Jewish laws. So this righteousness here, Joseph understands he needs to get some kind of a divorce, and he decides to do it quietly because he doesn't really want to publicly humiliate Mary in this case. And then all of a sudden he has a dream, and you talked about, you know, gee, if I had this dream, I don't know how much faith I would have or how much trust I would put in a dream. And it's interesting because one of the things that we have to remember is in scripture, when we hear about dreams, it's always a way of talking about a message from God being received. Ways that God communicates through his people are through dreams, through angels. So it's not, we don't want to make the mistake of thinking of this like, you know, he fell asleep, you know, he had some bad pizza the night before, and, you know, next thing you know, he's off dreaming this whole thing up. It's not a dream in that kind of a sense. It's more, this is intended to evoke the idea of it's a communication from God. And, you know, whatever that would look like, we don't really know. But the danger is, like you said, is for us to think of it like, I had a nightmare last night, and is that a sign from God? Probably not. Probably not. But in this case, this is what's being said here, is that Joseph did receive some kind of a communication from God to explain this situation to him. And in a sense, it had to happen that way, because it's a situation that otherwise we would have no way of understanding. There are certain things that we'd say in our life that we can know God in different ways. We can know God, you know, through, a lot of people will talk about through nature, they can know God, or through natural means, or through our own life experiences. But sometimes, in order to know certain things about God, the only way we can know them is if God tells us something about himself. And this happens to be one of those types of situations where God has to come in and communicate something to Joseph and say, this situation here is part of a plan that I had in mind. It's not what it appears to be on the surface. And so I think that's an important concept to pull from this whole story, is that, you know, really, we shouldn't, one thing is I very much discourage people just to think every time they wake up from sleep that whatever they dreamed about is going to come true or it's a message from God. We don't want to have go that far. It's not to say that you can't receive a message from God, but we don't want to put so much stock into our dreams just because scripturally it was used as a method to talk about the way God communicated to people. But I think there is a question too here where, you know, what kind of faith do we have that God is in control of a situation, and that God does become involved in the particulars of our everyday life? And I think for Joseph, this would have come as a complete shock, you know, when he finds out, you know, here he is, my fiance is pregnant, and I know I'm not the person who got her pregnant. That must have been a huge disappointment for him. But then on the flip side of that, all of a sudden, you know, he receives this revelation from God. God comes in and says, no, this situation is okay. And as a matter of fact, this is going to fulfill a prophecy here. And I want you to name the child Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so when we talk about the faith that Joseph have, it's the faith in that private revelation that he received from God, a special communication. It's not, you know, every time he went to sleep and had a dream about something, he was waking up and saying, oh, God must have, you know, told me that, you know, whatever I dreamt about is going to come true.
Well, it makes sense when you talk about it that way, because when you think about Joseph being the just man in the way you described it, he's in tune with the God that is around him and he's hearing him. And I know for me, when I am more in tune with the Spirit and living the life I should be, when I, you can't deny a message from God or the direction God is giving you when you're living in tune. You can say, oh, I don't want to do it, but it's clear to you at the time. I think of like when I left Paychex, it was very clear that it was time for me to leave there. And so I did. And so that's how I got to this point. And so it makes complete sense when you talked about it that way.
Well, thank you. And I see that we're coming to the end of our time here on the podcast. And we won't have another podcast before Christmas, so we wish everybody a very merry and blessed Christmas, and hope that you'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.